you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in to another episode of Nerd Up. This week, I've got Lindsay Wolfgang.
Yo.
And Mandy Kennedy.
Hey.
And I'm going to apologize in advance for any sound issues we might have. Our soundboard decided, well, the power supply for our soundboard died this morning. Just absolutely will not work. Super unfortunate. So we're doing this old school Nerd Up style, or old school Penta Nerd style, really, with a couple of USB microphones hooked in.
So sorry if we squawk and squeak and buzz.
Yeah, hopefully none of that is happening. The sound tests looked good, but you know, we'll see what happens towards the end of the show. Also, the software we use is super shady.
Woo! Let's,
yeah. So, go ahead and bust right into the material here. First thing I want to talk about, we've got a little bit of Spider-Man Homecoming news. Marvel is considering Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin in the movie.
Yes, please.
Right? I mean, for some of you out there whose first experience with Spider-Man was the animated series back in the 90s, that was, Kingpin was his main villain. I mean, that's just what it was. Kingpin has been a villain in Spider-Man, the comic books, but not so much a big one as he was in the animated series.
Yeah, my early Spider-Man experience was I knew Kingpin and Green Goblin, and that was about it as far as villains went.
And for most of the animated series, it wasn't even Green Goblin, it was Hobgoblin.
I like his name, Kingpin.
Kingpin.
I'm not really a Spider-Man person, so I don't even know, so that's why Lindsay gets the mic. But I just wanted to say that Kingpin's a pretty sweet name. I want a cool nickname.
He
like
is
that.
A big, bad MF.
Yeah, basically, like,
I can take him.
He doesn't have any superpowers or anything like that. He's just
big, scary, and rich.
Right. Oh. And he's like super,
Sugar Daddy.
And he's
Sugar
super
Daddy,
intelligent.
I don't know if you can hear that.
No. But yeah, no. His superpower is that he's real smart and he's real good at managing crime, and he's just that's what he does. He's the kingpin of crime in New York City. And it's awesome. Like, he's a cool character. He's had a couple of not so great portrayals and a couple of great ones. Honestly, his live action portrayals have been great. Michael Clark Duncan.
Uh huh.
Even though he's black, he's still
care.
An amazing Kingpin.
Yeah.
So good. And I shouldn't say even though he's black. I'm saying that because the character in the comic books is white.
Yeah.
But then again, Sam Jackson is also a way better Nick Fury than anything we've seen in the comic books. And now Nick Fury is black in the comic books.
Uh-huh. For that reason.
That's amazing.
No, I love racial diversity. But yeah, Michael Clark Duncan, incredible Kingpin. Vincent D'Onofrio, also incredible Kingpin, but for different reasons.
Yeah, definitely different take, but both amazing.
Yeah, because Michael Clark Duncan really had like the big scary dude that just knew what was going on.
He was like, oh, you're going to bust my skull in. I'm going to go over here now.
And then Vincent D'Onofrio just had like, he was a big dude. But he wasn't really scary. He was just, like,
he had his moments.
He did. He had his freak-out moments. Like, he was mostly just, he looked mentally unstable.
Uh-huh.
And still extremely smart. And I loved
so
it.
So good.
So good. Vincent D'Onofrio was perfect Kingpin. So, I'd be really, really happy to see him in Spider-Man Homecoming. And then we've also got, as another potential bad guy, Michael Keaton was in the talks for the movie, then out, now back in. We still have no idea who he's going to be. Or who they even want him to be. But
they want him. That's about all it is.
My bet's still on Vulture. I know.
Because they keep leaning towards that whole like Birdman thing from his other film.
Right. And I know Dalton still wants him to be Mysterio.
Okay.
Eh. I mean, they'd have to CG
see
the crap out of
him. I don't know.
Vulture's kind of a lame villain. Like, Mysterio.
I mean, it's most of the villains are kind of lame, though.
Oh, Spider-Man has some really cool ones. But, yeah, no, like, it's a B-list. Vulture's a B-list villain.
Well, that's what they do. They have a big villain, and then they have extra villains because they don't understand, hey, one villain's enough.
Because Spider-Man has so many. and Batman, I guess, did that formula for a long time, too, with, like, every movie having two villains.
Every movie.
Yep.
After the first one.
The Nolan trilogy did it right, though. You had the Scarecrow, or no, not...
Yeah.
Oh, no, you had the Scarecrow and Ra's in the first one. And then the second one was... Oh, so they still did two, because the second one was Joker and Two-Face. And then the third one was Bane and Talia.
Yeah, but they did a better job of separating them as opposed to, hey, we're going to shove you together and make you comical and it not make any freaking sense, but we're going to do it anyways.
I hated that Bane so much. And Uma Thurman as Poison Ivy. Actually, that wasn't bad.
It could have been worse, you know?
I thought it was a pretty good movie. I'm not deep down into it.
I still watch it for the laughs.
I mean, it wasn't a good movie by any means. It was kind of entertaining.
I liked it.
Well, fair enough.
I still prefer Forever, but you know.
I'm not deeply into Batman as you are. He's cool. I like Robin.
I know you like Robin.
I like Chris O'Donnell.
Chris O'Donnell as Robin was... I'm sure that was great for you guys.
Yeah, because I was a little teenager.
Yes.
All right. And other movie news. Ghostbusters 2 got its second trailer.
It was so much better.
The international trailer.
Was even better.
Yeah. The one thing I didn't
answer
like about...
Answer the phone. I can't. It's in the fish tank.
The other phone on your desk.
What's our name again?
I really, really like that Chris Hemsworth is playing the dumb guy.
I do too.
It makes me really happy. Like, he's just completely aloof. But the one thing, and I'm not going, just in case you haven't watched the American trailer too, don't. Just watch the international trailer. Because the American trailer actually spoils a big plot point. And that made me upset.
Uh-huh. I was
because
mad.
I heard the reasoning was that it had already been spoiled by some other news leak.
It was the toys.
Right. And I hadn't seen that yet. So I was still in the dark on this until I saw that part of the spoiler or that part of the trailer. And like, really? Why? Why not save that for the movie?
Because they feel the need to show everything in all trailers now.
Yeah. But the international trailer was so much better. And I really just don't. I don't understand. It was the same thing with the first trailer. The international trailer was way better.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make sense to me why the international trailers are so much better than the U.S. trailers.
Because Americans are dumb?
I mean, I get that. Why make two trailers? Why decide, like, I'm going to make... Like, you have to go out of your way to do it. Like, you have to go out of your way to say, I'm going to make a bad trailer, and then I'm going to make a good trailer.
Or they don't realize they're making a bad trailer.
They just figure Americans don't care if things get spoiled for them, I guess.
It's the only way to get people into the theater.
Yeah, or they're just throwing it out there to throw something out there. Like, hey, we're making this movie, and good stuff happens in it.
I don't know. Like, they did the same thing with Batman vs. Superman. They showed us the entire plot. I don't know if there were any international trailers, but yeah, it bugs me. And the idea that the theater business is dying or people aren't seeing movies in the theater is nonsense. Like, with how much money like they've pulled in on certain movies, and granted, like, they don't understand that the reason people aren't watching certain movies is because they're bad, not because, you know, they're having trouble getting people to buy tickets. Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop making bad movies.
There's plenty of movies I want to see this year, and yeah, they're a little expensive, but I still want to see them on the big screen, so I'm going to go and sacrifice something else somewhere else.
Right. Yeah. I will pay that $20 to get in and get a soda to watch it, like...
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to see...
Or I'll go on Tuesday when it's $6.
That too. Yeah, I'm going to see X-Men. I'm going to see it
open
weekend.
Yes!
I mean, that's going to happen.
Yes, now. God, don't even talk about it.
I'm going to see Doctor Strange in the theaters.
But it's like, X-Men.
God, I want it now.
Warcraft,
I'm going to see in theaters. Ninja Turtles, I'm going to see in theaters.
Ghostbusters, obviously, because we're talking about it.
I mean, yeah, there's a ton of movies that I'm going to see in theaters.
I want to see Finding Dory.
Oh, I know.
You two can see that one. you can probably get Stephanie involved.
Why would you not want to see it?
I will probably rent it. but
the first one was so good. And there's cute baby otters.
I do like otters.
I like how he looked in the like up like daydreaming about baby otters now.
It's a great visual gag for the audio podcast. All right, it's all in movies. One other thing, not related to movies, more fair use shenanigans with YouTube.
Boo.
Yeah, this one in particular got me pretty upset. Basically, what happened? Family Guy last week aired an episode where Cleveland and Peter were playing Double Dribble on the NES, and Cleveland was complaining about this glitch where you can automatically hit three pointers from the corner, and Peter keeps doing it over and over again. Now they're actually showing, they're actually showing on the screen while they're talking actual gameplay of Double Dribble. Did Seth MacFarlane and the crew pick up an NES and a copy of Double Dribble?
No.
Absolutely not. They grabbed from YouTube a video that's been there since 2009. I couldn't find who it was posted by. Granted, I didn't look that hard. But they went onto YouTube and they found a gameplay video of somebody using that exploit over and over again. And then they just had Cleveland and Peter do their voiceover work on top of it. Now, that to me, like, they didn't credit the guy. They didn't offer them any royalties. They didn't do anything. They just took the video from YouTube. And that alone is shitty.
Uh-huh.
Because Fox has more than enough money to compensate the original poster of this video. But instead of doing that, they went full dick and reported the movie to YouTube, or they reported the original video that they stole to YouTube as copyrighted.
Probably so the other person didn't go back and be like, hey, that's my video.
Yeah, seriously.
They still can. But YouTube's policies are so sided towards people making the claims. Mm-hmm. They're so sided towards copyright holders that there's nothing you can do. They harshly discourage you actually challenging DMCA claims. It's really stupid. So, yeah, this person, whoever posted it, like I said, had it since 2009. It's now down because YouTube took it down on behalf of Fox.
Fox.
BS.
Are you kidding me?
It's so dumb.
It's extremely dumb.
That's so backwards.
Yeah. Big F you to Fox.
Big F you to YouTube.
Big F you to YouTube for your crappy, awful fair use policies.
Like, what's not to say they're going to friggin' do it again? Like,
that's the thing.
People aren't going to want to post stuff on YouTube if they don't get credit.
Well, see, like, man, I don't know if you were, I don't think you were here for the episode we did on YouTube's fair use nonsense.
Probably not.
But it's extremely, like I said, one-sided towards people making claims. There are a lot of penalties that you incur if a claim is made on your video. There are actually companies that employ people. They are full-time workers. Their job is to go onto YouTube and make claims, false claims, on videos that are making money. And what happens if they have even, like, close to something resembling a reasonable claim? It doesn't have to be completely reasonable, just close enough where the claim goes through. They will actually earn all of the money that video would have made for the month, because that's the maximum amount of time they can keep it. They can earn all that money that that video would have made for an entire month. So there are people whose full-time jobs are to go onto YouTube, take popular videos, put claims on them, and instead of the video coming down, any views that go through, any money, that ad revenue, everything else that would come through, goes to the company that made the claim.
I don't want to live on this planet anymore.
It's an exploit that YouTube needs to fix. And it's not even like some of the more ridiculous stuff, like they're, even when it comes to questionable stuff, there's a group of people that do trailer, like reviews. They call it like an in-car review or something like that. They go to see a movie in theaters. Dude takes out his cell phone at the end of the movie in their car, and they do the review in the car.
Yeah.
So there's no content, no like videos from like anything else.
It's just them talking.
People have had that taken down. And, like, successfully had those videos taken down because they were trashing their movie.
So early in the morning.
Yeah,
freedom of speech much?
Yeah, you know, YouTube's policies are ridiculous. They can get the videos back up, but they only get, like, if three claims are made against them in the year and they have all three of those videos, you know, reinstated because they can prove that it's their own content, it's fair use, it's, you know, within the rules.
But they still get no more strikes.
They get no more. So basically, after the third one, any other videos of theirs that are taken down for the rest of the year are down. They can't do anything about it.
So you just have to pick your battles.
Exactly.
That's so stupid.
No, it's ridiculously dumb. Like, yeah, YouTube's fair use policies are stupid. Anywho, all right, on to happier news. Pokken Tournament has outsold Street Fighter V in the U.S.
That makes me smile. It's stupid, but it makes me smile.
Nice. I haven't even played it, and I'm happy.
Oh, I love my Wii Vial. I've only played against the computer, and I still suck, but I don't care. I love my Wii Vial.
It's a pretty game, and it actually is kind of fun. It's kind of cool. Like, I like it.
I beat Shannon, but I'm pretty sure he was going easy on me. I think he gave me more health.
Hey, but whatever win is a win. Yeah, I'd be happy.
W's a W. Right. It's cool. And Street Fighter V was not cool. Like, the gameplay and everything else for Street Fighter V, solid. I mean, it's classic Street Fighter gameplay. They made it prettier. They added a couple of things. It's kind of cool. But they only gave you, like, 12 characters or something like that.
Wasn't there, like, next to no story mode?
There was none.
Okay.
There was no, like, you couldn't just play against bots. There was Like, you couldn't, yeah, there was no exhibition mode against bots.
I gotcha.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. Like, you could play against people, you know, locally, but you couldn't play against a bot. There was a training mode where you could play that way, but yeah, no, it's really stupid. They released a $30 game at $60 is what they did.
Yeah, I remember you guys being real mad.
Yeah.
Because it's basically like it's a slightly shinier looking Street Fighter 4. It doesn't even look that much different than the last Street Fighter 4.
So you might as well just bust out 4.
Right, because you've got more characters, you've got more game modes, you've got so much more content in Street Fighter 4. Like, especially if you get, you know, whatever the fourth release was of Street Fighter 4.
With all the extra DLC and whatnot.
Right.
Or
and
you can just play Pokemon.
Or you can play Pokken Tournament.
Yeah.
And have a full game with, like, campaign, story, and all this other stuff.
You get to customize your trainer.
All sorts of fun stuff.
You can use your amiibo to unlock more stuff for your trainer.
The downside is you have to buy a Wii U.
That's true.
Which, for whatever reason, is still $250.
I need it to be $50.
Doesn't matter. I have one.
I also have one because I play a lot of Smash Brothers, and I love it, but... Yeah, no, it's they're about to release a new system. They need to have a price drop because for not much more. Or no, they're still $350, aren't they?
I don't know. Oh. I don't look at consoles because they're all already in my house.
I'm going to check that real quick because if that's true, hold on. Check it on Amazon. You two talk amongst yourselves.
That's probably bad.
Yeah, okay. This could be dangerous.
All right. Yeah, it's $300 for a bundle. You can get one with Mario Kart or you can get one with Mario Maker.
Well, those are both good games.
They are.
I would need you to be 200, and then I'd buy it.
But
it's also been a few years since it came out.
Yeah, seriously.
Right, and not only that.
And a new one coming out.
For $50 more, you can get a PlayStation 4
or an Xbox One. But you can't play Mario.
That's true.
Do those come with, yeah, they'll come with games.
Oh, yeah.
Do
like,
they come with games?
The one right here that I'm looking at on Amazon, you get Black Ops 3.
Don't care.
I already know this from when we went Black Friday shopping that they all come with games. I don't know why I asked it. This is why I don't record in the morning. This is embarrassing. Don't look at me. Don't picture me either. Don't do it. Just stop.
So now
you realize just because of this, he's going to have to like make the nerd up picture of you this time
They don't know what I look like.
Yeah, they do. You're on the website.
No one looks there.
Oh, and for $3 cheaper, you can get an Xbox One.
$3 cheaper.
So $296.
On Amazon. Yeah, it's $297 on Amazon for a 500-gig Xbox One with Gears of War.
Give me Viva Pinata and we'll talk.
Or for $10 more, there's a Name Your Game bundle on Amazon.
For what system?
So honestly, let's see. You can get the console with a controller, or you can get... You get a console with a controller.
I hope you get a controller.
I know it's not a bonus controller.
Why are we online shopping?
I don't know. But because it's ridiculous that a Wii U is still $300.
This isn't Thursday.
I can't handle another one of those.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I wanted to check on what all you get with. I want to help.
Don't
our
shop
listeners.
For systems you already have.
Christmas is like 18 months away.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have them, but everybody
else have
might
them.
Not. I know you do.
So as a graduation present, you're buying me a Wii U. Is what you're? That's why you're shopping.
Ding. But anyway, no, it's real silly right now. Like Nintendo, get with it. Like your system is not worth as much as an Xbox One or a PS4.
Just let Disney buy you.
Yes.
Oh yeah, somebody that has some kind of business sense. All right. In other news, Return to Arkham was officially announced.
Batman.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, Return to Arkham. It's going to have the Arkham Asylum game and the Arkham City game remastered for Xbox One and PS4.
So AKA, got we love Batman, but don't feel like making a new game.
Uh-huh. They got it. Well, I mean, Rocksteady has already said they're out. So, or Ravensoft. Is it Rocksteady or Ravensoft?
Oh my gosh. How do you not know this?
Rocksteady is a rhino.
It is Rocksteady? All right. Something like that. So, I've got my fact checker on the couch back there.
Shannon's in the peanut gallery.
So, it's it is Rocksteady. Rocksteady's already said they're done with Arkham. Arkham Knight was their last game. They're not doing anymore. So WB's got to look on another way to cash in on Batman games and doing a remastered version of it. Everyone loves Batman.
Are you going to buy them?
Probably not, But it doesn't mean it's not a good buy. Like, you get the two games with all of the DLC completely remastered. So all of the DLC they ever released for either game.
That's always a bonus when you can buy it later with everything.
Right, and it is a ton of content. Like, that game will last you into the triple digits of hours if you play everything. And if you get all the Riddler trophies and do all that good stuff.
Both games or just one?
Both games. It's Arkham Asylum and Arkham City in a bundle.
Right, but you said if you play that game.
No, they're each easy 50 hours. Oh, okay. Like, there's a ton of stuff to do in both of them. unlike Arkham Origins. Anyway, the Arkham series is really great. For the people that haven't played it before, that have a PS4 and Xbox One now, this is a great time to jump in and pick them up because it's a great value, great game. And no, I am not getting any money for promoting this. I just really like the Arkham games.
We like Batman.
He also has a Batman PS4, so it's legit.
I do. all right. The Dragon Ball Z Xenoverse 2 was announced.
Is it over 9,000?
No.
Sorry, I had to do the bad part.
It might have over 9,000 sales. I mean, Xenoverse 1 was pretty popular. 9,000
minutes.
Xenoverse 1 was pretty popular. and I played a little bit of it. It was a cool concept. Basically, you can create your own Z fighter. You can choose between Saiyan, Namekian, whatever race Boo is.
You can be a Namek.
Whatever race Boo is, or a human.
Why would you ever pick human?
I really don't know.
We're so boring.
Each of them have, their own stat bonuses.
Gotcha.
I don't remember what humans get.
Because I want to play the game and be Krillin.
Pretty much.
Hey! I liked Krillin.
I
cried when he died.
Which
don't
time?
You bash on me. Why?
You know what? I can up you. I liked Yamcha, and he was even more useless.
Oh, yeah, he was. Yeah, I didn't even want to bring him back.
I know.
And when he died from Frieza, all right? He hates us right now. Why?
No, I mean, I just don't understand. Like, if you get a game where your choice is, you can be this big, green, super strong alien. You could be like this, one of the strongest races in the entire galaxy, right. Or a human.
Goten all the way.
Who picks human?
Saiyan. He's the youngest Saiyan. Super Saiyan.
Just do Saiyan. It's like
That's
a human,
what I'm saying.
But
yeah,
so much stronger.
You know why you want that spiky hair.
I know.
Everybody wants that spiky hair. Sexy. Especially in Japan. I don't know, I didn't think the game was all that successful in the first place, but then again, the prices and sell points of DBZ games in general have always baffled me.
Uh-huh.
Like how a copy of Budokai Tenkaichi 3 is still $50 on a lot of consoles.
Oh. Yeah. And you can't find it ever?
Anywhere. Yeah, everybody wants that game for some reason. I don't get it. It's fun.
I have some Dragon Ball Z game at my house. I don't know what it is. I don't even know where it came from.
You just know you have it.
Yeah.
See if it's Tenkaichi 3. You have some money.
All right.
I don't know. Other big news, Yooka-Laylee finally got a little bit of content announced. They have for their...
You just
for people that don't know,
thought.
Yeah, I did. I really did.
They're
just
cute.
My train of thought crashed.
Because they're so cute.
They're adorable, yes. Yooka-Laylee, for those of you that haven't heard of it before, we've talked about it on the show before. It's a spiritual successor to Banjo-Kazooie. It has basically the creators of Banjo-Kazooie wanted to make another game, so they made Yooka-Laylee.
I like the lizard.
A little chameleon.
It's so cute. I want it.
So yeah, instead of a bear and a bird, you have a chameleon and a bat, and that's Yooka-Laylee. Yooka and Laylee, I guess I should say. And the Kickstarter was wildly successful, hit its mark real quick. They finally released a little bit of, released some screenshots, stuff they've been working on. And coming in July, for those people that backed the game on Kickstarter, will have access to the toy box.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's basically going to be a sandbox-style Yooka-Laylee. No spoilers or anything. You just kind of run through the world as the
run
pair.
Around and do your thing.
Wait, a game's doing good for people?
Do what?
What? Games are doing good for people?
Yeah. I mean, this one's crowdfunded.
Somebody take example.
I mean, they kind of
Yeah, that's true.
Where game developers right now are trying to appeal to their publisher because the publishers are the money. For Yooka-Laylee, it's purely crowdfunded. So.
I'm sure it'll be good, though. I mean,
yeah. It looks really good. Do what?
The other game was amazing.
Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie are both freaking great games. Yeah. Nuts and Bolts is okay. That was the one they released on the Xbox Live Arcade. a while back. Well, I think they got a physical release.
I didn't play
I'm
that.
I'm thinking about it.
So, yeah, I haven't played the Banjo-Kazooie line. I've got it in my remix
there you go.
Game, but
I haven't.
I turn that
so
on and
ago.
It's all pinatas. Pinatas all the time.
Yep.
Nothing but pinatas.
Because, Microsoft still owns that Rare name, so you got the Rare Replay, which came with the original Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie. They just haven't done anything with the franchise in a long time.
And probably won't.
Very likely will not. All right. And the last thing I wanted to talk about, and the show has moved along very quickly. We are at 25 minutes.
Well, that's okay, because we started way late anyways.
That's true, because of all the sound issues and stuff. So for those of you that want to hear me talk longer, or Lindsay or Mandy talk longer, I'm very sorry. The Pokemon types. We were talking about it last week. We were trying to, like, fan theory craft, whatever you want to call it.
Pokemans.
We're trying to figure out what the third evolution's going to be, or the final evolution of, I guess, each of the starters, type-wise. There was a individual on YouTube that went into source files for a Pokemon or for Nintendo Japan's Pokemon website, and they found image files for the for the types. They found in there were only six total. And they had the pictures of on the actual website itself. They had the pictures of the three starters. So you had Rowlet was grass flying. You had Litten as the fire type and Popplio as the water type. When they went through the source files, they found two additional images, and they were the symbol for ground and the symbol for fighting. And the way it was ordered out, it seems like the types are going to be water fighting and fire ground. Which,
yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed.
I still liked the fire poison and water fairy theories, but...
I'd be okay with that, too.
Yeah.
I'm going to be really mad if it somehow becomes firefighting and water ground.
I know. Because it's been done so many times.
Right. And does ground have a type advantage over fighting?
Not that I'm aware of.
So. I'm gonna check into that. Because
I almost compare them to the same thing. Just the way my mind works.
Because what has me worried... with the last generation, they had double type advantages across the board.
Yeah.
So if they made water ground,
mm-hmm.
grass flying would have type advantage over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And fire fighting has type advantage, like double type advantage over grass flying.
Yeah.
So if ground has some sort of strength over fighting, then that might be the triangle.
Where that gets flipped.
And we'll
I know,
have,
you're sick of your firefightings.
I really am. A majority of the types.
Maybe
I mean,
it's
don't get
not
me wrong,
real.
I like my Blaziken, but...
right, like, it just... Yeah, Blaze... Like, there are three, right? It's Blaziken is firefighting.
Uh-huh.
The monkey is firefighting.
Yeah.
And the pig was firefighting.
Yeah, it was.
So, let me see here.
The wrestling pig.
The wrestling pig. Oh,
this
my
is
God.
Too much for me to think about when they double type everything. I'm like, ugh.
It's like you're making my head hurt.
I know, right? Just,
although I can't say anything because my main team has so many double type Pokemon in it.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. So I'm looking at it here. Fighting type doesn't appear to have any sort of interaction with ground type, so they're not strong or weak against each other.
Yeah.
So, hopefully, because the one thing that doesn't make sense is that if it's water fighting,
uh-huh.
then that means that the water half, and I mean, they might go, like, inversed.
Yeah.
Because that would mean like the water fighting would have a one type advantage over the grass flying.
Yeah.
And the same thing with, like, grass flying would have one type advantage over fire ground.
Uh-huh.
So that could be it.
Yeah.
But
they're almost like the second one doesn't matter. It's just there.
Right. Or, like, it's a flipped, almost kind of balancing it out, sort of.
Yeah,
which,
but then...
in their efforts to make the games easier...
I don't want easy.
I know, but...
I'm okay with easy.
Because
I mean, yes, I get angry when I can't beat a gym leader the first time around, and I feel stupid.
I got so mad the one game.
I like that there's a challenge as opposed to go la 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 la. Oh look, here's my badge. La 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 la. Oh look, here's another badge.
Because I think we can all agree, in the original games, the hardest fights outside of the Elite Four were your rival fights.
Yeah.
Because he would show up at the most inopportune times.
Uh-huh. Right.
Come out of a cave. Huh, you want to fight? Like, it's like, no, I have two Pokemon. Like,
The cave was real rough. Please, I don't want to do this right now.
Please. I've been traumatized by Zubat. Leave me alone.
Oh, Jesus.
There's so many Zubats. You just come out, like, scarred, bitten, like a Zubat still clinging to your shoulder.
You have a broken arm.
And then outside, right outside the cave is just Gary waiting for you.
To be fair, in the last few games, the caves have, like, healers halfway through them. There's, like, random, like, nurses in the cave.
Yeah, right.
Like, why
The caves are no longer a challenge.
At one of them, I was just like, oh, you are from God. Thank you. Yes. Like, I was like, I don't even care how he says this.
Or
now.
Even in, like, that's one of the hardest fights in the beginning because you straight up have, and at least they didn't give them their type, like, move types, but, like, the very first fight you ever have is against your rival, and they have a type advantage over you.
Yeah.
Which, fortunately, it ends up being scratch versus tackle most of the time.
Yep.
Dun, dun.
Because they don't normally have their actual
right, in the original generation.
Although this time they will.
Right, and they did in the last one, too.
Yeah.
But the first fight isn't against the rival with the more, or the type
it's
advantage.
It's the friendly rival.
It's the friendly rival who got the leftovers,
so
and you have
a
type advantage
over. You
feel
good about yourself and crush them.
Yep, pretty much.
Because you don't often fight your actual rival in the game, and when you do, you're always fully healed and ready for a battle.
Yeah, like X and Y, you didn't fight him that often, him or her that often.
Right. You fought your friendly rival more often than not. And yeah, that's...
Oh gosh darn, you win again.
And I mean, like, it's one of those things that makes the game a little bit more easy, a little bit more approachable, I guess, for certain crowds. So I'm wondering if, like, this isn't one of those ways to make it a little bit easier. So when you have that rival battle, it's even easier because if you get left to just your main Pokemon, you have at least one type advantage.
Yeah, I guess.
With the exception of if you choose the fire starter.
Yeah.
Because you don't have any type advantage if it goes that way. Because,
yeah,
like I just looked up, unless they plan on changing the balance.
Mm-hmm. Maybe those are harder.
Yeah, unless they redo that again, too.
Which is certainly a possibility.
Which makes you wonder if they're going to throw another type in again.
Could be, too.
Because that's whenever they change those things is when they add another type.
Because that actually would be interesting if they make ground type strong against fighting type in this coming launch.
Interesting.
I don't know how that would work.
I don't either. I guess, like, can't really fight the dirt. Same thing with, like, you know, it ground can't attack flying.
Yeah.
So in that same vein, I guess it could be a thing.
Interesting. Maybe.
They're actually
going to
discard it and completely redo the starters, and it's not even going to be grass, water,
this
and
is all, this
fire
is all just
anymore.
A teaser. We're going to, like, get random stuff, which would be awesome.
Oh,
I
agree.
Not going to happen.
I kind of wish they would change the starters. Like,
I do too. Like,
elements.
Do a whole...
That'd be a really cool change.
I think it would be, as annoying as it might be, I think it would be cool if you start out with all normal types.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you could pick just a different type of
normal. Because you can teach different elemental ones, too.
Or just start out with a different triangle.
You just let me start out with a Ditto. It's fine.
There you go.
Or Mr. Mime.
You start out with every Pokemon.
I still want the super hard one where you get, like, Magikarp, Phoebus.
Oh, God.
And some other, like, obnoxious, like, starter.
It'd be cool to have, like, different types, though, because, I mean, how many years have we been fire, grass, and water?
Every year.
I'll just go play one
years.
Of those.
7 generations.
Seriously. Like, they should change it up.
I don't know. Like, what's another type triangle that they could do? Because I can't, I'm trying to think of one. And I can think of, like, strengths and weaknesses, but I can't think of a third that you can throw in there.
I am not awake enough to do this. I'm sorry.
You need it, though? Like,
give me, like, a day to think about it.
And then, like, halfway through the game, you get, like, one or something? I don't know.
Well, like, it's one of those things that makes sense for, in order to keep with the formula, you have to have that triangle.
I guess.
Yeah.
But
rock, paper, scissors.
Exactly. But I don't know.
Well,
like,
I mean, I guess yellow, you started off with electric.
Well, that's because it was the Pikachu special.
Yep.
Right. Which you ended up getting all of the starters anyways if you wanted to.
Just give me an Eevee. That's all I want.
Ugh, that'd be fine. I was going to say I want Vulpix, but that's still fire. Whatever.
That's okay.
Yep. It would be interesting to finally have something else other than, you know, the typical fire, water, grass. Though I guess at this point that's also so iconic.
Yeah.
That it's just, it's one of those things. And you
just
always
give me
have,
my trap inch.
You can't change.
I want my trap inch so I can have my Flygon.
Oh, that, I was like, what is a trap inch?
I'm so confused.
It's an annoying little bug thing that doesn't evolve until level 40.
I want to start off
the bug dragon,
right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
No, well, it's ground dragon, and I love it because it's such a little jerk. Because I teach it fly and dig and earthquake.
Oh.
And then a random dragon move. So it's annoying, and I love it.
That
I would literally murder you in real life if I had to fight you. Like,
so don't fight me,
because
Flygon has been a staple of my team.
I'm gonna
since, like,
attack
Emerald.
You, but you're gonna fly or dig. Like, what is that?
Yep.
If you play against Lindsay in Pokemon, you can expect to fight a Flygon, a Vaporeon,
a Dotrio,
and a Dotrio.
I love my Dotrio.
I didn't know about Dotrio.
Yes,
right?
The three-headed bird.
Okay.
I love Dotrio.
Doduo and Dotrio. Okay.
And a Breloom. Those are the four that I always have.
Jesus.
And then the other ones get switched out.
I want a Dragonite.
Dragonite's
I had Dragonite for a while, but Flygon, freaking I like
Lance.
The Dragon Ground.
Yeah, Dragonite and Umbreon are staples in my team every time.
My current ones, I think Absol and Duoblade are my other two right now.
Or some sort of evolution. I also like Glaceon a lot.
I love Mega Absol. It has wings, and it's awesome.
A new challenger approaches?
A wild Shannon has appeared.
Oh, okay.
He's carrying energy.
He's sitting real close to me, since we only have two microphones, that was another thing I didn't announce.
He's evening the table out.
Yeah, now it's me and Shannon on one end and Mandy and Lindsay on the other.
Yeah. Which I tried to say at the same volume as Lindsay. But
I'm sorry, I got loud.
I'm trying to be by the mic, but not be by the mic.
I've been keeping an eye on the levels. It stayed reasonably consistent.
Yeah, well, we're pretty awesome. So.
What if I speak really loud? How does it pick me up, buddy?
It's not like that little bit of low point right there. That was you.
Well, that's my life.
just a little bit of bold. I was going to say a little bit of a low point, but, all right. Well, that's all I've got to talk about because we're done with Pokemon now. I mean, we'll never be truly done with Pokemon.
Never.
Right? So
never truly done. They got the shiny Yveltal downloads going on right now through the channel.
Ooh.
I forget how long it's till. I think it's just till the end of this month.
So yeah, get your shiny Yveltal, guys.
Yeah.
It's a legendary.
I got three of them.
Because
I don't have a copy of Y, I realized. And that makes me sad.
You don't have a copy
what?
Of Y?
Because somebody had a digital version of it and no longer has their DS.
Hello.
We're looking at you, Shannon.
All right.
That'd be the first time a girl was. Oh! That was a high five.
I don't want to be that girl.
I don't know why I have to high five things.
I don't
but
want it.
Anyway, I think that's going to finish us off. Shannon, take us out.
This is the end of Podzilla 1985. Thank you guys for listening. It's been a great year, and we'll see you on the next project, which
yes.
I'm going to call Mecha Podzilla 1985.
Yes!
See y'all on Tuesday.
Can they have Gundams?